The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the other shoe waiting to drop. Aaron's most famous teammate tells the truth. It's time to panic in Green Bay. Meanwhile, it's also Tebow time. Right back where it all began. We'll tell you exactly why they did it and exactly what it means. Plus, LeBron ready to return. The biggest question in the sport is this. Will he be back? And better than ever, we've got all the answers as we get up with you. Starting right now on a Tuesday. And as you can tell, huge star power in the news today. I'm Greeny in New York, and huge star power waiting on the program as well. The one, the only, Booger McFarland is ready to make some plays. Mike T is wheeling and dealing. Jeff Darlington's got all the insight, and we will get to them in just a moment. But we begin with history made last night. The record-breaking performance, Russell Westbrook, trying to make history with 182 career triple-doubles. Late second quarter, already had all the points that he needed. And here we go. He's throwing it up. Rui Hachimura's throwing it down. That would take care of the assists. He's the fourth player in history with 20,000 points and 8,000 assists. But now, fourth quarter, Westbrook, one rebound shy of a triple-double, and there it is. Russell Westbrook with his 182nd triple-double, passing Oscar Robertson for the most in history. Meanwhile, good game. Under three to go. Wizards down three. Not anymore. That's a nice, tough shot by Westbrook, who would score 28. To one-point game. Under 10 seconds left. Hawks turn it over. Westbrook with a chance to win it from three. Ah, but it's no good. So the good news, bad news night for Russell Westbrook. He breaks the record. His team falls. Russell, after the game, let's talk.
Normally, I don't like to pat myself on the back, but tonight I will, just because, you know, I'm so grateful for the ones before me and so blessed and thankful for the man above for allowing me to go out and do what I do. And I humbly say this, but like I said, I'm the best playmaker in this league. I take a lot of pride in finding ways to make my teammates effective, make the game easy for them. And I've been blessed with the ability to be able to play this game at a level that nobody else can play it at. And I won't stop until I can't play no more.
So here's the top five list now on most career triple-doubles. Westbrook at the top, directly behind him, three Hall of Famers. LeBron James in fifth, obviously headed to the Hall of Fame. Everyone you see on your screen is headed to the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Russell Westbrook. Meanwhile, another player on a tear is Steph Curry, and he was involved in the game of the night. Warriors, Jazz, Utah, the number one seed in the West. Third quarter, Warriors up by 10. Steph Curry, you know he's Mr. Outside. How about Mr. Inside? Takes it to the hole. Warriors are pulling away, but hold on. A buck 15 to go. Utah hanging around. What a quarter Jordan Clarkson had. In the fourth quarter, he scored 24 points all by himself. Jazz made 13 threes on the night. Utah, two-point lead. 25 seconds to play. Same score. Steph looking for space. It's up. It's no good. He was only 3 of 13 from 3 on the night, but they keep it alive. Draymond, Steph, again. This time, he knocks it down. He would score 36. The big smile. One last chance for Utah. Inbounding. Down 3. 5 seconds to go. Clarkson for the win. Oh, no good. No good, not even close. He would score 41, but it's Golden State that emerges with a critical win, 119-116, as we look at the standings in the West approaching the end of the run. The Warriors currently half a game ahead of Memphis for the 8th seed. Right now, our analytics giving Golden State a 69% chance of playing the Lakers in the play-in tournament. And we could get used to this. Jay Will making his way over across the hall. KJZ, Coast to Coast, ESPN Radio. All right, lots to unpack. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Steph.
Yes.
Is he the MVP of the league?
No. Nikola Jokic. I've been saying it right now. I think Steph will be in my top five MVP candidates. But I would have Nikola Jokic, and I have CP3. That's the way I would be doing my – and Joel Embiid right there as well. I think Joel Embiid missing 20 games – Nikola Jokic not missing any games pretty much this year, averaging almost a triple-double, almost 50-40-90. For the way he's kept Denver in contention without Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic.
All right, that's fair. Though, let me change the question. Is he the best show in the sport right
now? You're damn right. I'm paying every piece of money I have in my bank account to watch this guy play because what he's doing is prolific, and I give him so much credit. The fact that he's keeping his team in contention to be in the playoffs, let's be honest, Draymond Green's having an incredible year. This is the best one-man show in basketball. What he's been able to do has been absolutely absurd with how he's carrying this franchise.
I agree. And they clinch at least getting into the play-in last night, so we'll see where it winds up going. Meanwhile, LeBron comes back tonight. Pretty interesting little regular season game against the surging Knicks. What do you expect from LeBron tonight?
Just continue to work into shape. Right now, like I tell you right before, everybody's, oh, what's the panic meter? It's exponentially high for LeBron James and the Lakers. I'm like, calm down. As long as you get LeBron James back, get him into a good lather, make sure that his conditioning is to the point it needs to be. By the time you get to the playoffs, him and AD and the Lakers will be just fine, especially, mark this down, Greeny, if they see the Suns in the first round. Phoenix rejuvenates careers. We've seen them do this before. It will rejuvenate LeBron James.
Yeah, there's something about Phoenix that makes people rise from the ashes, if you will apologize for the pun, or at least I will. Okay, let's save the best for last. Here's the real question. Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
We talked about the accomplishment. We talked about the triple-doubles. How do we put him into some sort of historical perspective?
As it relates to the energy and the effort, I think that skill is probably the best attribute for him. What he's doing is incredible. And look, to break this record, Russell Westbrook is one of the best guards I've ever seen. But the reality of the matter is right now, I know Scott Brooks said he's probably the second best point guard to ever play the game. He's the fourth best point guard in the NBA right now. So to me, I have LeBron James, Stephen Curry, CP3, ranked as it relates to point guards ahead of Russell Westbrook. I don't think this demeans the talent of Russell Westbrook. And you could probably say, well, LeBron James really isn't a point guard. You and I both agree on this. I think he's been playing out of position most of his career. Mm-hmm. He is a pass-first mentality kind of guard. You tell me he's better than Steph. I don't think he's better than Steph. Tell me he's better than CP3. I don't know about that because I've seen CP3. He's incredible. Still my fourth best
point guard. Is he better than Damian Lillard? See, that's the thing. He is the most complicated player in the world because he is at the same time ridiculously overrated and ridiculously underrated. It's impossible to put him into perspective because whatever you say about him, you can make the alternative argument.
Can I just say, can I take them both? Can I take them both? I know that's not a hard stance, but it's
why not?
The mentality. I love both of them. That's why.
All right. On this program, you can take whoever you want.
Okay.
He is the Jay of KJZ, Coast to Coast, every morning on ESPN Radio. Thank you, Jay.
You got it, brother.
Meanwhile, superstars continue to be in the news in the NFL as well. No news from Aaron Rodgers or the Packers yesterday on their seemingly fractured relationship, but Rodgers' favorite target did weigh in. In an appearance on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports, Devontae Adams was asked about how the situation impacts him.
We established a lot together, so it would change a lot, man. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, I definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. There's certain things that, I can't speak on specifics, but there's certain things that he wants, and maybe the club wasn't so excited about living up to right away. That can affect a guy who's done so much for an organization. He's put his body and his really laid his life on the line out there for that team, for his teammates and everything. So I've been behind him 100% throughout the whole thing.
Look, let's just be clear. If Green Bay were to lose Adams, it would be catastrophic. Last year, he set a franchise record with 115 receptions. The next closest Packers wide receiver had 33. That gap was the largest between any team's top two receivers in the entire league. And so let me bring the football crew in here this morning. And Booger McFarland, I will start with you. As you hear Devontae Adams saying what he said yesterday to Colin, what thoughts go through your mind as far as the impact that has on the situation?
Well, Greeny, I think he understands how he gets to football. I think he understands that without Aaron Rodgers, his production is probably going to be limited or is going to slip. And guess what? He has every right to feel that way. When my circumstances change my opinion on whatever, I'm given the ability to change my opinion. So I think if you're Devontae Adams, I think right now it's just like we all. Like he's in a wait-and-see mode right now. And if Aaron Rodgers is not in Green Bay, Green Bay is going to have to do something to convince Devontae Adams that, hey, whoever the quarterback is, whether it's Jordan Love or whether it's somebody else, can get you to football, because Devontae Adams is not at the beginning of his career. he's in the middle toward the end of his career, and you don't want to start over. You want to go with an established veteran quarterback that can get you the football, because Greeny, Chris Carter told you a long time ago, what are receivers about? Hey, they're about their numbers and their money. Okay, he's got his money, but from a numbers standpoint, he's got to have a quarterback that's got to get him the football. And if that's not Aaron Rodgers, then I'm pretty sure somewhere his camp is going to be like, hey, let's find somewhere else we can go to get our numbers.
Right, because as you see it on the screen, he's entering the final year of his current contract, so he's got some leverage as well. So, Mike Tannenbaum, if you're in the front office of the Green Bay Packers, a bad situation just got a whole lot worse. What impact on your thinking as a GM or the decision maker there does the star player like Adams coming out and saying what he said? What impact does it have?
It scares me to death, and here's why. It's the tip of the iceberg. All the players are looking at what's going on with Aaron Rodgers, and they're saying if he's unhappy, if the Packers, for whatever reason, aren't taking care of Aaron Rodgers, there's no way they're going to take care of me. And all the goodwill of getting Aaron Jones signed, David Bakhtiari signed, that all goes away in a second. And you guys bring up a great point. It's about his contract moving forward. And he's saying if Aaron Rodgers has to find greener pastures for whatever reason, I do too. And I'm not going to tie my future to Drew Locke, Jordan Love, or whoever the quarterback is. So I thought that was a really insightful comment. And I would be very nervous if I was the Packer front office hearing that.
I mean, so Jeff Darlington, there's one way of looking at this thing and saying everything may be coming apart at once here for the Packers. If Rodgers holds fast and he wants out, and all of a sudden Devontae Adams is sort of suggesting that that could suggest that he wants out, now we have ourselves a complete mess. What are you hearing from both inside and outside the organization?
Well, Greeny, when you have conversations with people around the league, they point to the role of Brian Gutekunst, and that is general manager. Take that literally. General manager. When you make a decision, it impacts everything else, and you have to manage all of it. When you draft Jordan Love, for instance, and it ticks off your Hall of Fame quarterback, then that's going to have a ripple effect of its own. Look, Jason Light managed to bring 22 starters back. Why do you think that that happened? It happened because Tom Brady is the quarterback. Someone told me a long time ago about the NFL. It's exactly what Booger said. You know who people love? Not people who coach the best or play the best. People who make you the most money. It sounds cold, but it is true, and that will have a ripple effect across the organization. There's no question about it. Internally right now, the Packers are trying to figure this out because you've got the front office doing what they do, and you've got the coaching staff kind of throwing up their arms saying, when do we get a say in any of this? We got to coach these guys up. So everything that Brian Gutekunst is doing and everything that Mark Murphy, the president, is doing has a ripple effect down. It impacts coaching, it impacts players, and overall, it will impact the organization.
I mean, it's major trouble right now. That's 100% right. Quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers put everybody's kids through private school is another way that I've heard this put before. It makes a whole lot of sense. And at this point, I think there's every reason to be concerned that he's not going to be back, and a lot of other guys may want out as well. Let me take a break on that thought. I have so much to get to, including another star quarterback in an entirely different circumstance. Coming up, Tebow time is back. Why Urban Meyer is bringing his former quarterback back as a tight end. What impact it could have on his team and the league. We've got all the answers. Plus, it isn't official, but LeBron is expected to return tonight for the Lakers. Does this make the champs the favorites once again? Those are the questions. We've got the answers. We're getting up with you on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up with the crazy news from yesterday that the Jacksonville Jaguars are expected to sign Tim Tebow to a one-year contract to play tight end. Tebow has not played in the NFL since the 2015 preseason, hasn't played in the regular season since 2012. Assuming he does sign, he will be reunited with Urban Meyer, who coached him at Florida, won a pair of national championships with the Gators. There's so much here to unpack, and each of the three of you have so much perspective on this. I'm dying to come to all of you, but Jeff Darlington, I will start with you. You date back with Tebow a very long time, and I'm sure you're hearing a lot of stuff from inside the league. Give me the insight on what's going on here, Tim Tebow in Jacksonville.
Yeah, Greeny, this is a tricky one, and I say that with this disclaimer that I don't blame Tim Tebow, and I don't want to hear all the Tim Tebow haters coming at me, or lovers saying, why do you have to hate on Tim Tebow? This is not hate for Tebow. But within the Jaguars organization, there is definite disagreement about whether they should be signing Tebow. There are those who have gone to Urban Meyer and said, this is not a good idea. This doesn't send the right message. Whereas Urban Meyer, on the other hand, is saying, this is exactly the message I want to send. This is exactly a moment when I want to create a certain culture, and I believe Tebow can help do that. Now, the counter to that is that Tim Tebow's leadership in college, the last time that Urban Meyer was coaching for him, was treated very differently by his locker room than it served in the NFL. I've talked to a number of players, dozens of players and coaches about Tebow's leadership in the NFL. It's not the same thing. It's not a culture changer, as they put it. It's simply not. So there's some real dissension about this within the Jaguars organization. Where this plays out, we'll see. Maybe it's not that big of a deal. Maybe it doesn't even make it to the regular season. But for right now, it is another interesting point to the start of Urban Meyer's coaching career in Jacksonville.
Absolutely. Booger, what do you think?
You know what, Greeny? I've thought about this all night, and I've tried to remain calm. And Jeff, you know what? You make a good point about Tim Tebow, not to blame him. But here's what I'll say. Like, Tim Tebow has been out of football a long time, and Tim Tebow has been a polarizing guy. He knows that if and when he accepts this contract, that he's going to get a lot of attention. I would just ask Tim why. Why do you want the attention? Why do you want to come in and take the attention away from your head coach, who you love, who has been like a father figure to you? Why do you want to take the attention away from Urban and Trevor Lawrence? Why? I would just ask Tim Tebow why, because the likelihood of him making it as a tight end in the National Football League is slim and none, Greeny. And I got news for you. Slim is on vacation somewhere in Saudi Arabia, so he's probably not going to make the team. So why would you do it? The second thing I would go to is this. If you're Urban Meyer, here's the thing I'll say to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is coming from college, where in college he was the program. He could do whatever he wanted and nobody would question him because he was the head of a program. Well, I got news for you, Urban. In the NFL, it's not like that. He's already learned with the hiring of Chris Doyle as his strength coach. You can't do what you want to do. You are not the most popular guy in the organization. So if you're Urban Meyer and you're Trent Baalke in the front office, why are you doing this? Taking attention away from everything you're trying to do. You're trying to build a team. You're trying to build a culture. And Jeff, I would just say to you, what is Tim Tebow going to bring to the table? What can Tim Tebow do for me and set for me as a culture that's going to help me? Because the culture in the NFL is really simple. If you can help me win, I like you. If you can help us progress and be a better team, I like you. But if you can't, I don't care what kind of icon you are. I don't care how polarizing you are. It doesn't matter to me. So for Tim Tebow to come in and take up a roster spot, Jeff is right. It's not his fault. But this is clearly on Urban Meyer, his decision making. And I think it's a mistake from a college coach coming to the NFL that's used to having all the power and what he says goes. Now he comes to the NFL. And I got news for Urban Meyer. He's not the most powerful man on his own team in the organization. That's going to be Trevor Lawrence, and he's got to learn that. So, Greeny, I'm trying my best to remain calm. Tim Tebow is a colleague of ours. He is a friend. But for him to be in this position right now, it's a bit alarming on a number of levels, some of which I tried to lay out for you this morning.
Yeah, I get it. Mike Tannenbaum, this is something with which you have personal experience.
Yeah, a decade ago, we ran a very similar play. We brought Tim in to replace Brad Smith, who was kind of a do-it-all former quarterback, athlete. We ran some Wildcat with him. And just to move the story forward, I agree a lot with what Booger and Jeff said, which is this. From a pure football standpoint, I just don't see it working, and here's why. A 34-year-old backup tight end would have to play special teams. I just don't see Tim covering punts and kicks. And I understand the great intangibles of the lens of how Urban Meyer sees what he did in Florida, helped build an incredible culture. But people in the NFL, as Jeff and Booger said, follow the money, follow the people that give him a chance to win. As a backup tight end at 34 years old, he's not going to have that same cachet. So from a football standpoint, a culture standpoint, I just don't see it working in 2021, much the way we didn't have success in 2012 with Tim at the Jets.
Super quick, though, Jeff, you have a real sense, and we'll talk to Paul Feinbaum later. This will be received very well in certain places, right? I mean, we can sit here and be critical of it, and everything that has been said has been completely legitimate. But there is also going to be a huge swath of people who are going to be very excited about this.
Yeah, I went through this in 2011, and I understand it. Yeah, no, but Booger, here, there's a lot of fans, and I understand the love that comes for Tim Tebow and the things that he does. Those people just don't understand what it takes to do this at this level, especially at the tight end position. It is literally an insult to the tight end position, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. These are guys who have mastered their craft their entire life, and for Urban Meyer to turn around and then say, hey, this guy over here played quarterback for me in college, he can do that in the NFL. He thinks it sends a good message to his locker room. It sends a terrible message to the players who have devoted their entire life to this craft. But yes, there will be people who do not understand that.
To be clear, Boog, and I'm going to give you the floor here. If he makes the team, they will sell more Tebow jerseys than they will sell Trevor Lawrence jerseys. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it is a thing, and that's sort of what I meant. Booger, I'll give you the final word.
Greeny, if you start trying to please the fans, you're going to be sitting with the fans as a head coach, okay? And that's the third questionable decision that Urban Meyer has made since he's been the head coach. Chris Doyle, the strength coach. You draft Travis Etienne when you have a running back in Robinson that's pretty good. And now, if you sign Tim Tebow, that's three very questionable decisions that Urban Meyer, who's the head of the organization, has made. And Greeny, he hasn't even coached a game yet. Imagine how that's going over in the locker room. As a player, I have to know that you're going to make decisions to put me in the best position to win. Right now, Urban Meyer has made three decisions that I can get on national TV and argue they haven't given them the best position to win to date. And that's an issue for a guy that we know doesn't like to lose.
There's so much to unpack here. We'll continue to do so as our morning continues. Take a short break. We'll come back with more on this and more on Aaron Rodgers. That situation clearly having an impact on the Packers. Why the drama could impact the entire league. That's next. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Wednesday on SportsCenter, full coverage of the NFL's first ever 17-game schedule release. Find out when Tom Brady and the reigning Super Bowl champs face Bill Belichick and the Patriots, the rookie QB battle of the top two overall picks, and when Patrick Mahomes will meet Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Coverage begins Wednesday at 6 Eastern on ESPN and continues on ESPN2 with a SportsCenter special at 8, hosted by Monday Night Football's Steve Levy. Don't miss the live reveal of the must-see matchups in the biggest NFL season ever.
All right, so looking forward to that tomorrow night. The regular season will begin Thursday, September 9th. The defending Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, of course, or you would expect, will be kicking it off.
at Raymond James Stadium, where they won the Super Bowl. And the question is, who will they be playing? There's a lot of questions that go into the schedule release. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, just to throw it to you, when you're actually in the front office of a team, what are you looking for? What are the teams watching for when this is released tomorrow?
Well, we want to know how many road trips we have, how many back-to-back games away from home we may have. Should we stay on the West Coast if you're an East Coast team and stay there between two games? But you're also looking very closely at your other three division teams to see where their advantages are. And, of course, publicly you're coming out saying we're only playing one game at a time, but that's not true at all. You want to see where you're aggrieved, where you're the victim, where you have more night games than they do. So you're looking at it very carefully, looking at logistics. And then if you're in the AFC East, for example, you want to know how many warm weather games are you playing in Miami? How many do your opponents have? If you're going up north, are you going up to Buffalo, New England when it's cold out? And you're scrutinizing that very carefully, and you're trying to figure out where your concerns are and where your advantages are as well.
Jeff, I know there's one game you have circled on the calendar, or at least you have circled, and we'll wait to see where it falls on the calendar.
Yeah, circle in Sharpie marker. I mean, New England and in Tampa Bay. Like, Tom Brady playing against Bill Belichick. This is it, baby. Like, that. If this comes down to the right moment, like at the right point in the season, this has the makings of being one of the greatest regular season games that we've ever seen. I mean, it just has every single storyline you could want. I am here for it. I cannot wait to see when it's on the schedule. I will book my hotel room for whatever ESPN is going to wind up having to pay for it. God knows what. It's going to be expensive, though. I can say that right now.
I'm with you. And then, of course, we will all have our eyes, Booger, on how many primetime games Green Bay gets. That feels to me like, of all the things I'm watching for, that's one of those, because the Packers are either one of the most interesting or the most uninteresting teams in the NFL, depending on one big factor. What do you think, Book?
Green, I completely agree with you, and I think the networks are going to have to protect themselves, and maybe they don't put them in the standalone windows, that being Monday or Sunday night or Thursday. Maybe they figure out a way to put them in some of those double headers in the afternoon. That way they can switch them around. But Greeny, I got to take umbrage with something Mike T said about looking as far as what the first thing you look for. Listen, Mike T, I don't care how many road games I'm going to have. I know it's probably going to be 8. I'm not concerned about my other division. There's only one damn thing I'm looking at as a player. When do I have to go to Green Bay or Buffalo or play in the new Meadowlands Stadium? That is the only thing I'm looking for, because as a guy from the South, Mike T, I could care less where I play. I just want to know when the Green Bay game was. As long as the Green Bay game is before Halloween, I feel really good that the temperature is going to be above 50. And that's kind of my breaking point, because there's an old theory out there that football weather is 40 degrees when you see your breath and everybody's clapping and wearing coats. That's a lie. Let me tell everybody right now on national television, that is a lie. Football weather is 72, sunny, no humidity, with a light breeze. And as long as I got that, I don't care who we play or when we play. I just want to know, Greeny, when we're going to Green Bay or Buffalo.
He's a very particular man. And go ahead, Mike.
And you know what we used to do at the Jets when we had teams from the South come up in December? Our guys would go out with no shirts on for warm-ups, just so they intimidated them even more.
That's
like, hey, we're used to this.
Heard.
This is all good.
They were still cold, Mike T. Hey, that never worked. I saw that. They were still cold. They were cold just like we were.
Booger used to come up and do the radio show with me in Bristol, and if it was below 20 degrees, his nose would not stop running the entire time. And that's when we were inside.
That's Tampa,
now, we're indoors. But he would just the walk from the car to the building, Booger got so cold that his nose would be running the entirety of the show. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that. That comes out tomorrow night. We will wait and see where it goes. Meanwhile, let me get back to basketball, because there is no bigger story in sports than this right now. According to Woj, LeBron James will likely return for the Lakers tonight in what shapes up as a very interesting regular season game against the surging New York Knicks. Sources telling Woj that LeBron's injured right ankle has been pain-free after several days off. So let's dive into that and several other really big NBA storylines with Brian Windhorst and Kendrick Perkins. Big Perk, I will start with you. Assuming LeBron does play tonight, what do you want to see from him against the Knicks?
You know what? I just want to see if he's healthy. And that means I want to see his athleticism, his explosiveness, his ability to get up and down the floor. If he shows us, Greeny, that he's somewhat close to LeBron James of old, the rest of the Western Conference better watch the hell out, because I'm looking at this Western Conference and they're not where they're supposed to be, okay? Some of these teams are very sketchy. You should be playing some of your best basketball right now, peaking at the right now when it matters the most going into the postseason. And I'm looking at these top dogs right now, and none of them put fear in my eyes to show me that they could beat the Lakers in a 7-game series if LeBron James is 75% healthy.
Well, let's talk about that percentage. Wendy, you have covered LeBron James for literally his entire basketball life. As far as his injury history, where does this fit in?
This is the most severe injury he's had since he was 16 years old, got undercut in an AAU game and broke his wrist. And, you know, this is not an injury he's ever dealt with before. And when you watched him, when he came back for that game and a half a couple of weeks ago, he ran around okay. But when it came time for him to use that right leg as an anchor to push off of it, it was like a flat tire. He did not have explosion. And you know that his greatest, the thing that he can do on offense is get players out of position and use his size and leverage. And he wasn't able to do that. So that's what I'm going to watch tonight and the rest of the week. And I agree with Perk. If the Lakers are playing elite defense and LeBron and AD are healthy, I don't care what their seed is. But I got to tell you, look at the way this bracket is shaping up. They could have to play Steph Curry in a one-off game. They're better than the Warriors, but in a one-off game against Steph, that's worrisome. Then be on the same side of the bracket as the Suns and the Clippers just to get to maybe the conference finals against the Jazz. It's a very big ask if LeBron isn't firing on really close to all cylinders. And that's why I would say that the most important thing in this NBA postseason is the health of that leg.
Of LeBron James. I think that's clear, and I think everyone would agree with it. Let me come back to you on that thought, though, Perk, because you touched on it, but let's get as definitive as we can. If LeBron is pretty close to healthy, you put 75% as the number, we'll live with that. Are they the favorites in the Western Conference to you, regardless of the way the bracket falls?
Absolutely, Greeny. And if you would have asked me this a week ago, I would have told you hell no. But now, no, watching this Anthony Davis and watching the Western Conference, I look at the Phoenix Suns, and the Phoenix Suns, after playing the Lakers the other night, they want to stay as far away from the Los Angeles Lakers as possible. I'm looking at the Clippers. The Clippers are having their own struggles right now. Guys are coming in off an injury. Kawhi Leonard is not 100%. They're not playing great basketball. You look at the Denver Nuggets, right? You have Big Jokic. But Aaron Gordon is not battle-tested. They have a rookie starting at the PG, at the point guard position. And the Utah Jazz, although they have been playing well recently, they still been without their two all-stars, Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley. They still have to find their rhythm. The Mavericks don't really scare me like that. The Trailblazers have been up and down. So the Lakers still are really in good shape. And you still have two of the best players in the league on your team. And when I say two of the best, I'm talking about an Anthony Davis that's putting up Wilt Chamberlain, Shaq-type numbers. So I have no concern if LeBron James comes back tonight, which I think he will. Because Anthony Davis said it. Oh, Ron, I seen LeBron James at practice. I'm telling you, he'll be just fine. That was what Anthony Davis said. And I believe it. And Wendy, you should too. You know LeBron James. You know a guy that invests $2 million into his body, what he's capable of doing. One thing we learned, one thing I've learned, is to never doubt the greatest player of all time.
And tonight he might be playing the hottest team in the NBA, in the Knicks. So that's an interesting little game. All right, let me shift to something else here, Wendy, because you were the one on my radio show yesterday who really got me thinking about this. Russell Westbrook last night set the all-time NBA record for most triple-doubles in a career. And Russell is the most confounding player to try and put into any sort of historical perspective. So Wendy is one who chronicles the game as well as anyone. How do you do it?
Well, this will be what he is known for the rest of his life. He will be Mr. Triple-Double. When he is introduced and honored when he's 60 years old, he will be introduced at those banquets as Mr. Triple-Double. He has had some great teammates. He has played alongside scoring champions. Bradley Beal might come up a little short, but he would win the scoring championship in most years. He's had incredible highlights. The way he plays is sometimes difficult for teammates. He's been up and down there. But this is going to brand him. And, you know, it wasn't like we needed him to get this record for us to understand how he contributes across the board. But what I will say is this. When he played for the Thunder, I do feel at times he was chasing the triple-double. His teammates would sometimes move out of the way so he could get enough rebounds. Over the last couple of years, that hasn't been the case. This season, when you watch him play, he's playing to win. He's not chasing those triple-doubles. And not all triple-doubles are created equal. And what he's done these last couple of months has been some of the most impressive play in his career, in my view.
And so, Big Perk, let me come to you. When I ask you, how do you quantify the greatness of Russell Westbrook? How do you do it?
He has cemented himself, Greeny. He is in his own lane. And I think when you think about a triple-double, you have to think about a mindset. You have to think about this Mamba mentality that you have night in and night out to come in and dominate as being one of the best scorers on the floor, coming in and dominating as being one of the best rebounders, being one of the best facilitators. When it's all said and done, Russell Westbrook, in my eyes, is number five when it comes down to ranking all-time point guards to ever play this game. And you just got to appreciate what he's done for the game of basketball. The way he approaches it every single night is beyond special. And I don't know. No, you know what? I do know. We would never, ever, ever see another Russell Westbrook. Hey, look, Greeny. Oscar Robertson set this milestone 54 years ago. You were 1 year old. You were one. So you seen a lot of basketball. And in those years, Greeny, you are one of the legends in this game. And you cannot sit up here and tell me that you saw a lot of basketball and say, somebody's going to break Oscar Robertson's record. Like, you wouldn't have thought of that. And you have to let that marinate for a minute, because this is something special that we just witnessed.
You've aged me by a year, but I will live with that. I was actually negative one at the time that the record was broken, but that's
you're right, you're
I won't
right,
take
Grady.
Any offense to that. It's okay. You've aged me 2 years. Trust me, I'm getting there faster than you think. I'm going to bring you back a little bit later, Perk, as a few other questions I want to ask you. We'll do more hoops as we go. Guys, thank you. In the meantime, a reminder that we've got an NBA doubleheader tomorrow night, and it's a big one. All about playoff positioning in the final week of the regular season. 7 Eastern. Wizards trying to get to the 8th spot in the East. Hawks trying to move up to 4. That's a big game. Then Dame and the Blazers, just a game back at Dallas for the 5 seed in the West. Jazz trying to lock down the number 1 seed throughout the playoffs. So much riding on these games, and you will see them right here on ESPN, and you can watch on the ESPN app. Coming up, Carson Wentz came to Indy with great expectations. Why the hopes to get the Colts back to the Super Bowl may have gone way up yesterday. Don't miss Sneaky Big News next.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up with what I think is sneaky big news. Adam Schefter reporting yesterday that the Colts are signing left tackle Eric Fisher to a 1-year deal for $9.4 million. He's the former Chief. He suffered a torn Achilles in the AFC Championship game against Buffalo. He was then released by the Chiefs in March, a salary cap casualty. But this is a very good player joining a very good team. So sneaky big news, I think it is, and it begs the question, in a tough division, does that put Indianapolis over the top? Who do you have winning the AFC South as of right now? Booger McFarland, I'll start with you.
Yeah, Greeny, even before they signed him, I was going to have the Indianapolis Colts. I just believe what Frank Reich is doing. Chris Ballard, the general manager, how they built the team. And let's face it, I don't think Eric Fisher is going to be ready by September, maybe even October. But when you get down the stretch in November, December, to have a veteran left tackle protecting the blind side of Carson Wentz, giving him the protection up front, how they run the football, this is not going to be a pass-happy football team. It's going to be run, play action. So I think Fisher can help them. I like what they do, and I just don't think there's any team in this division that can compete with them right now.
Okay, that's interesting. Jeff, do you agree?
No, I'm buying the Colts. I'm into the Colts, but the Titans, to me, still pound for pound, are better than the Colts. I still go, you know, even at the most important spots. Ryan Tannehill is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. I think the NFL hasn't really necessarily come around to that yet, but it's true. Derrick Henry is a better running back than Jonathan Taylor. Like, I think that pound for pound, like, both teams lost their offensive coordinators. Nick Sirianni, I think, was a big deal to the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, Arthur Clarke was to the Titans. I just still think that the Titans are the class of the division. I'm into the Colts. It's not hating on the Colts. I just still think the Titans get the edge.
How about you, Mike T?
Absolutely. I'm going to go with the Titans. Follow the quarterback. Since Ryan Tannehill has been with the Tennessee Titans over the last 2 years, they're number one in total offense. And I really like what they did on the other side of the ball. They added Bud Dupree, Danico Autry in terms of pass rushers, and then drafted Caleb Farley, added Janoris Jenkins. That defense just has to be average because that's how good their offense could be. I think Indianapolis has improved. Tennessee has the best quarterback and the best team in the division.
You know, I went with the Colts by an eyelash, even though I actually agree, Jeff, with what you were saying. I think the Titans have the edge at quarterback and at running back, but the Colts, I think, are so good in so many other places that they all are. Carson Wentz has to do is be decent, right? I mean, Booger, Carson Wentz just kind of has to not get in the way. I don't mean to insult him in this way, but he kind of has to not get in the way, and I think the Colts take care of business.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree with you. And I think if you go back to the last time that we saw Carson Wentz and Frank Reich together, they made magic. They made great music. And I just got to think, with as much resources that they've invested in him, this team, this is a physical football team. And to y'all's point about the Tennessee Titans, listen, the Tennessee Titans can't rush the passer better than us four right now on television. I get it. Bud Dupree, hey, what he was before the ACL, let's see if he can come back. But if he doesn't come back, how can they rush the passer? If you can't rush the passer to close out games, you're not going to win many games.
I'll say this, Booger. If it's the four of us rushing the passer, you're going to get quadruple teamed. The rest of us, I think one guy could probably take care of all by himself. Let me leave that thought there for a moment. Let me run the bases. We got a bunch of baseball to get to. Check out this bizarre play. Eighth inning, Orioles, Red Sox, Cedric Mullins pops it up. There's nobody there because of the shift. The ball is going to come in. No one can make the play. Mullins will make it all the way to third. Orioles will wind up winning by a score of 4-1. Crazy moment in that one. Meanwhile, before the start of the Pirates and the Reds, the Pirates' Luis Oviedo and the Reds' Alex Blandino both stay standing outside the dugout after the anthem. They delay the start of the game by 2 minutes. Oviedo eventually concedes. Reds would go on to win it by a score of 14-1. And finally, Jacob deGrom will be placed on the injured list with tightness in his right side, a move that will keep the ace from taking the mound until May 20th at the earliest. The Mets said an MRI on Sunday night was, quote, clean of any issues. But Jacob deGrom is the best player in baseball at any position, and here's Robert Stanberry only, the third. We call him Buster. On a scale of 1 to 10 right now, Buster, how should we assess the level of concern for this injury with deGrom?
Greeny, I'd say 3.5, because the good thing is it's not his elbow. Good thing is it's not his shoulder. He is 33 years old, and the Mets haven't told us a lot about what the source of that discomfort in his side is. We'll find out, but you framed it exactly right. You know, he's the best player in the National League. He's the most important player in the Mets organization. He's having an historically great season, so if he's going to miss time, that is a concern. Look, the Mets thought he was okay going into that start on Sunday, and he had to take himself out.
Once again, that record just jumps off the screen. He's 3-2 with an ERA of 0.68. It's almost impossible. Okay, for all the fans that are watching, Buster, give us one thing every baseball fan has to be excited about today.
It's Shohei Ohtani Day. He's going to pitch against the Houston Astros, and he's going to hit. That's what Joe Maddon told reporters yesterday. I asked Ohtani earlier this year, why is it that you like to hit on the same days that you pitch? And he said, I really like the idea of being able to help myself. And think about this, Greeny. We're not even a quarter of the way into the season. He's already got 10 homers, He's got 26 runs scored. He has 30 strikeouts with a 2.41 ERA. Even Hembo knows it's the best two-way performance baseball seen since Babe Ruth in 1919.
He's the best show in the sport right now. Of that, there is no question, and we look forward to it. One more. A Buster, for those who don't know him, was raised on a Vermont dairy farm, and so we do a feature called Would You Bet the Farm with Buster Olney. And so the question is, the Dodgers look like a prohibitive favorite early in the season, but have since cooled off. If you had to bet the family farm, Dodgers or the field, to come out of the National League?
Greeny, I would not bet the whole farm. Maybe a couple of heifers, maybe part of the woodlot, but here's the major problem. They have been subject to the Greeny curse, because earlier this year, you basically came out and said that they could be the greatest team of all time, and since then, they've struggled to even win a game. Nothing man-made has ever overcome the Greeny curse. I would say this, I still think they're going to win the National League. I think they'll make additions before the trade deadline, and they'll get some of these injured players back.
To be clear, what I said was they were so good that they could have me playing a position for them every single day and still win the division. And from the day I said that, they have the worst record in the National League. That is what is going on. He is Robert Stanberry Olney III. Thank you, Buster. We'll look forward to Adani tonight and a whole lot more. Meanwhile, tonight we got good baseball in the American League East. Our matchups tonight, the first of a three-game series between the Yankees and the Rays at the Trop. Jordan Montgomery and Ryan Yarbrough get the starts. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time. Coming up, Aaron Rodgers. Dissatisfaction with the Packers seems to be having ripple effects. Why the comments of a teammate should cause concern in Green Bay. That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.